Hello and welcome back to the WOW podcast, Women Out West, Women of Worth. The WOW pod is a place to share unique stories of rural women in rural business, whilst amplifying women's voices and connecting women through their business, passions, stories, challenges and successes, and bringing a focus to small business in rural Australia. I am your host, Sig Peters, and I'm so excited to introduce to you this episode's Rural Woman in Rural Business. Now, today's episode is actually coming to you from a closet, a walk-in wardrobe here in Orange in New South Wales, as I am in Orange for the Huddle, hosted by Jumbled Online. So today, I am so excited to be able to introduce to you all of you, my very best friend in the entire world, Ange Elliott. Now, Ange is actually originally from Cobar, but resides in Bynalong on a farm with her husband, Graham, and kids, Cooper, Josh, and Claire. Ange is a busy business gal who owns Yass Health Clinic, a multidisciplinary workspace that houses a team of highly qualified and experienced physical therapy, diet, and mental health professionals to bring quality health services to the Yass Valley District. She's a clever cookie, this one, who is always working out ways she can better herself and create opportunities for her family. Ange has also this year expanded in the health service industry, opening another health and wellness clinic in Borrowa, New South Wales, and is quickly becoming very busy in that region too. Ange hasn't stopped there. She's now added author to her many accomplishments and has written two published children's books under her brand Farming Friends, and is currently working on her third children's book to be released very soon. She has designed a range of kids' country hats, giving a nod to her late grandfather who would wear a similar hat on the farm out at Brewarrina, New South Wales. I've actually known Ange now for almost 32 years and we've been together through every high and almost every low. Ange has endured some pretty big moments in her life and I'm always in awe of how she gets through, the way she views the world and has the ability to always know that the storm will pass. Thank you, Ange, for being here with me in the closet in our rented Airbnb while we get ready for the huddle tomorrow here in Orange. We are killing a few birds this weekend with the one stone. So welcome, Ange.
Thanks, Sig. I am extremely happy to be here with you in this closet.
I'm very excited to have you on this episode. We've been talking about getting Ange on now for many, many weeks and I'm just so grateful we could actually fit it in on this weekend. So we're going to kick off, Ange. Now, you've obviously got You've obviously got a couple of things going on. You've got more than just one business. You've got Yass Valley Health District area with your Yass Valley Health Clinic, and then you've got Borrowa Health and Wellness Centre, and then you've got Farming Friends, and then you've also got motherhood. But let's just go back to talking about your why. So let's talk about Yass Health Center. Is it center or clinic?
Health clinic.
Health clinic, sorry. Tell me, what was your why? Why did you want to start that?
From a young age, I always loved, sports and muscles and bones. I kind of always knew I would, end up in a career, around those factors. So, went to uni, studied exercise physiology, added remedial massage to that. That's my why for that business. Obviously, I was a sole trader then and then morphed into a multidisciplinary workspace with other allied health professionals.
So bringing them all into one space.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was your why, was to just bring them all together in one space.
YHC. Yep. Let's all be under the one roof, using the one receptionist. For the community to have one space where they could go and see a massage therapist and then their chiropractor straight after. And why not grab some diet advice from your dietitian on the way out the door?
It's all there. It's such a good idea, Ange. And I guess that takes me to asking you your why. I guess you're out at Borrowa now and you're working out there. What's your why? Why have you moved out to Borrowa with another health and wellness clinic?
When I first started Yass Health Clinic, I was only living, just a stone's throw out of yes. Well, the beginning of that business. But, yeah, life sort of changed. Met Graham. I was a single mum when I first started that business and then met Graham along the way and moved out to Bynalong to be with him on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And now that has, yeah, so locationally I am closer to Boorowa than mm-hmm. I am to Yass. Yass was 50 minutes into the door of the clinic, and Boorowa is a very tidy little 15 to 20 minute drive, yeah, just to skip into town.
Okay, so yeah, so Yass Health Clinic is kind of just running itself now in Yass, and yes, you're out at Boorowa, so you're physically there.
Yep.
And now let's go to your why. Why did you want to become a children's author? What happened there? What made you want to start that?
Well, yeah, Sig, once again, you've been there from the beginning. I just was reading a farm machinery magazine to my son and just pointing at the pictures and saying, you know, that's Dad, the silage machine, and the tractor was, you know, Rob from up the road. You know, everyone sort of had a character name, and then the actual book sort of came to me in the shower one day. I just found myself sort of saying it, so I hopped out of the shower dripping wet naked and wrote it down. And I think I put my towel on, and I think I rang you straight away, and yeah, I was like, listen to this, and you were like, put it down, publish, yeah, it, what are you
winner
doing, you know?
It's a winner, yes. So okay, so you were reading to Josh and you decided, well, I'm making up a story here with a tractor magazine, I could probably do one better and write a book.
Yeah, there was a bit more to that as well. I could, you know, as we know, a lot of the farm books are, you know, written in, you know, American style language or English, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the headers are combine harvesters and, you know, yeah, things like that. And, you know, out here we do call them headers and we do call them the chaser bin and, you know, things, yeah, like that. So
the
just using sort of the way we speak here on the farm and things that are applicable to us in our area, I guess.
It's so awesome, Ange, because not only like it, the book obviously reflects where you are right now in Bynalong and where you live and for your kids and what is happening around you. So it's not just about writing a book for farm kids. It's actually writing about what your experience is right now and what your kids are experiencing, and it all kind of like relates to each other. And Andrew's written another book called, so the first one was called The Machinery Shed and the second one was called The Shearing Shed. And Ange worked a lot in shearing sheds, so she had a fair bit of experience. So once again, writing back about stories that she, like people and places and things she's seen along the way. So it's really cool. So that was your why, Ange, for three different things. Yass Health Clinic, Boorowa, and now obviously Farming Friends, which she's doing. She's a mum, so she is home a lot with the little ones, and that kind of was keeping you sane writing books, do you think?
Yeah. So obviously these were all written, you know, on maternity leave to keep my wiry brain, I don't know, give me something to do in the day, I guess.
Keep ticking along.
Yeah. So not that you don't have anything to do with a little baby, but, you know, you're sort of finding other ways of entertaining yourself, I guess, at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to jump to asking you, did you have any doubts before you started any of your businesses? And if you did, what was one of the biggest ones you were worried about before you started any of what you've done? What was one of your biggest fears, do you think?
Hello.
We've got a wine delivery.
Wine delivery.
Come on in.
Oh, thanks, Tash.
Thanks so much.
Getting delivered wine to here. The closet. You beauty.
Wine in the closet. Okay. Why not? Wine not.
Sorry, what was the question?
It was, what's one of your biggest doubts or fears going into anything that you've done within business, as in anything you've started from scratch? What's been one of the biggest things that has really stood out for you that you were worried about most?
The biggest fear I have is that I have no fear when doing that. And then I quite often find myself in sticky situations that I have to reassess. So,
right. Okay. So your biggest worries are actually just jumping in and not thinking enough about it?
Yeah. Yep. Mm. I just sort of let the future Ange worry about many
those
things.
Problems. Okay. So though when you were starting, I guess, going into your own business with Yass Health Clinic, you obviously have purchased a building, purchased some pretty big things.
Scary.
Is that scary? Was that?
That was a bit scary. I actually, I hope the owner of the building prior to me, if he's listening along, I had a bit of an out-of-body experience with this one. was traveling to town from Bynalong, and things were getting pretty serious with Graham. I obviously knew, you know, he's the one, you know, obviously, you know, you go down that track and perhaps we might get married and we might have more kids, and, you know, so where does that leave me? I've just created this business, you know, in town, like, sort of, what am I doing? Like, am I going to continue growing something out here, or will I sort of pack up and move a little bit closer to where I'm potentially going to live, you know, for the rest of my life? And so I was sort of toying with this idea, and for 2 weeks I remember just not being okay. I had this really fizzy, fuzzy feeling of I guess it was sort of like frustration and anger, and I just was in the, you know, it was sort of like either go all in, buy a space and create something that's going to sustain itself and pay itself off in a weird way, you know, with your business model that you've got in your head,
mm-hmm.
Or pull out and be, you know, be a sole trader, have that time, go off, have babies, you know, like, because I'd been through this before, you know, I know how it all works, business and kids, and it's not pretty.
No, it's
not
hard
pretty.
Yucca.
It's hard yucca, you know, so you've got to be real, you know, and sort of staring down the barrel of all of that. And anyhow, being myself, you know, picked the, I guess, the bigger option, which is to buy this space.
And grow the business.
Yeah, which I was renting the space at the time. Mm-hmm. At the time it was only a little two-bedroom, not two, but little. It was a big printing mill. So the old Yass Tribune, that's where they used to print the massive newspapers, and it was this gorgeous big space. And so the front of the office was obviously where the newspaper people used to, you know, run interviews and write articles and things like that. And out the back was where obviously this big, huge, loud printer was. So I was working in the front space there, and I'd already started to sublet. Like, I had the lease, and then I was subletting to an osteopath and a chiropractor at the time, and had the formula sort of in my head for what I was going to do. And I did. I had this out-of-body experience. I certainly did not have the funds ready to go. But I rang the owner of the building and I said, I want to buy the building, you know. And he said, okay, but if I'm selling, I'm selling.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, okay. So
and you didn't even have any finances or anything lined up.
I had a deposit. So those of you listening on, if you want to buy any commercial space, you got to have 30% of the funds, boom, ready to go,
yeah,
before a bank will look at you. So that was, I was like, what the, sorry, excuse the French, what the F am I doing?
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was a fear.
Yeah, I would say that's so, when you said to me, you know, your fear is that you don't have a, I think you've done some pretty big ballsy things, and buying a big building, and then obviously you renovated the building once you've purchased it to now what it is today.
We hadn't even signed the contracts and I was renovating it. I had the certificate of approval.
Right.
And then boom.
But you were still like really trying to chug along quite quickly.
I was chugging. I was running. Yep.
So yeah, fears in business, buying big things, getting over those fears, and you just went in and you just did it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Beautiful Jodes McColl, if you're listening to this, in a crucial moment in a massage one day, she said, "Ange, have a crack."
Yeah.
And those three words, "have a crack," resonated in me. So, meaning, if it all goes belly up, just sell the bill, you know, like just think about your out, what, you know.
Because there is an out game.
There's always an out game.
Yeah. Yep. So that takes me to Ange asking you, what advice would you give someone wanting to start their own business? And it doesn't have to be, you know, it's in the same line of work as yours, and it doesn't have to be going in and buying a business or buying a building. Just anyone that wants to start and that has an idea that wants to start, what would you say to them?
Yeah. So first, I love an idea. I love a good idea. But then, yeah, sort of do as much research as you can into it. But I guess it's not until you sort of start, you know, just start, and, you know, whether that's a sideline thing, you know, we all sort of have that 9 to 5, and then most ideas are that side gig. Mm. And you're happy enough to do it because it doesn't feel like work, you know, because most ideas are, you know, yeah, I got this cool idea, you know, and then you
treat
just start,
it just like a side thing.
Your side thing. So just start you know, obviously start small. Don't put yourself in too much
crazy debts.
Crazy debt, as I've just explained in the question before. But
yeah,
cancel that. Sit down. Yeah, just calculate. You know, yeah. There's, you know, look at services that are sort of similar to yours. Pricing. Don't undercharge yourself. But if you do feel that your skill set is probably, you know, sitting, you know,
at beginner level initial, or something.
Yeah, that's right, in the learning phase or the acquisition phase, you know, just start to sort of build that, you know, late at night when your kids go down or so, I don't know. Yeah, so my message, sorry, clearly is just start small and build as the momentum sort of picks up.
Yeah.
On that note, once the momentum picks up, get some advice from bookkeeping. This is really exciting. I've actually just sold the business, the Yass Health Clinic. So not the building, but the business. So it's very exciting.
It's very new.
But what I am proud of is that I owned up very early that I am a sparkly star and I am no good with the numbers sides of things. So, you know, obviously you've got somewhat of an idea, but when it comes to terms like tax terms, you know, even like negative gearing, things like that, things that are going to really sort of help you and you know, moving from sole trade into like company phase, things like that, really get good, strong advice from the people that know best. And once again, Tori Brewer, you know, Nairi Ashton, if you're listening as well, thank you, because, you know, to then sell a business out the other side and have beautiful, clean, sequential books is just the best feeling ever.
Okay, and so that's, you're talking, why you about pay the end, money. End game there. We're talking to the people that are
starting up.
Good advice to look at the other side of it too, Ange. Now, this day and age, you are a mum and you are running a few different things, but what does a normal business day look like for you now, like right now? I know you've just gone back to work after having your third bub. So what does it look like right now? What do you do on a normal day?
Okay, up obviously early. My three gremlins have never slept in, so we are up early. Everyone is up. Everyone's up. We all just sort of take our time in the morning. Byneelong's very, very cold, so, you know, fires need stoking, that sort of thing.
Mm.
Pop the kets on, have a cuppa. I would say that I do express gratitude through this big window in my kitchen every morning. I do think of three things that I am literally grateful for before I check anything, my phone, you know, anything. I think about these things, you know, and I think I've trained my brain over the years to do that. And I just, that's how it starts. If it all goes downhill after that, well, you know, we've started on a high.
In a moment, yeah.
I was running up to the shearing shed, but now that's more later in the afternoon. It is bloody cold in Byneelong. So then everyone has breakfast. The lunchboxes are packed the night before. If anyone follows me on Instagram, particularly on the Farming Friends things, you know, you are creating a rod for your own back if you are packing those fucking lunchboxes in the morning. Pack that shit at night, ladies. So
you're going on some tangents here.
Sorry.
Okay.
Lunch boxes go in bags.
Yep.
It's a mad rush. Everyone goes out the door. I grab the towels that I've washed the night before.
Yeah.
I drop Coops to the bus in Byneelong. He's got the 50-minute trek into town. The two little ones come with me over to Boorowa. They go to a daycare over there.
Mm-hmm.
Drop them off about 8:30. And then I go and open up.
Yeah.
And then there's this bit of time. I actually don't start till 9:30. And I have this sort of hour of, you know, just
getting your head in the game.
Getting my head in the game, going through the motions, a little bit of time to sort of, clear the
head.
Do
you look at who you've got coming in, scheduled?
I look at who I've got coming in. Mm-hmm. I read my notes from prior appointments, the exercise, you know, the NDIS, you know, EPCs, things like that. We go through those notes. If they're just coming in for a remedial massage, cool, sweet. Like, let's just have a look at what was wrong last time.
Mm-hmm. And then get cracking. Perfect. So busy day, Ange. And then obviously you're working all day till about 3:30.
So it's perfect. 9:30, 3:30. And then I go and reverse the process. So I go and pick everyone up. And then Coops has rugby training or swimming club, or, you know, there's always something on in the afternoon. cook dinner, baths,
flop,
bed,
and
flop, bed, and
do it all again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it all again tomorrow. Yeah.
It's amazing, Ange. And I just want to ask you a question because you are based, I mean, Yass is close to, you know, Canberra and some other bigger metropolitan areas, but Boorah was this little small, tight little knit community, and you're living near Bynalong as well. And you've obviously got clients around the regional areas that come to you and your services. I just want to ask you, how did you market, obviously, Yass Health Clinic so that people could start coming to you? And then obviously now you're in Boorah. How have you marketed yourself to, so that people know that you're there and that what you, whatever you do, like how do you let people know? Like how do you market yourself?
Yeah, so that's a formula. Yeah, so back to the conversation about a startup business. Normally with whatever you're doing, you know, whether you're doing beauty therapy or this side of things or any sort of service-based appointment, it's a bit tricky because, like, say you're a tradesman, obviously someone's got to call you and it's a bit of a bespoke sort of thing. But for us, say you've got an appointment, you know, there's normally all these different companies. So Clinico actually changed my life. When I signed up to Clinico, it's basically an online booking platform. Mm-hmm. You get your link, you make a website, obviously, and book online, you know, and that's the that's life-changing, you know, for someone to just go online, book, collect all their data. So once again, you know, selling your business at the other side, you're selling a database as well. You know, you're selling literally numbers and email addresses and da-da-da-da-da, you know. So
how did you market though?
Like, how did I market?
I'm asking how do you get clientele? Like that's your booking system.
Okay.
How do people know that, okay, one, Ange offers this, I'm going to go to her for this. How do you market yourself within your regional rural communities?
Okay, yeah, so Facebook and Instagram,
yeah,
really handy. So, you know, obviously just go on to, you know, I think I went on to the Boorah notice board and you just a picture of myself. I think it's really, get a nice picture of who you are.
Did you pay for people to come and take pictures, Ange, or is it something
you just did on your photographer.
iPhone?
Yeah, I actually outsource everything. Everything I've just mentioned before, you know, I've had website designers, I've had, you know, photographer. Pay the money for good services. Don't try and do all this stuff really on your, you know what I mean? I think if it's worth doing, it's worth doing, you know. So, in time, you know. So
It's taking you time to get to that point.
It's taken time, but have a good photo, you know, this is what I'm about, this is who I am, this is what I offer, this is I don't really actually go promoting prices and things like that. I think people, if they really want you, you know what I mean, they'll search, mm-hmm. okay, and then the prices are obviously there, but I think
so what'd you say, Instagram, Facebook, they're predominantly your marketing strategies for getting people in?
And then a lead link, you know, so a call to action button to then go to your website where the booking link is directly. So time is money. So every phone call I have to take and actually physically put that appointment in, that's my time versus someone clicking that link and putting, you know, creating the appointment, you know, initial consult, you know, whatever, you know, that's all done in the back end. And and it takes out the human error as well, you know. I'd get people in the street, hey, Ange, oh my God, my shoulder's crook, you know, can you see me again, you know, and I'm like, oh, I think I've got time on Thursday. Then I hop in the car and then what do? I go and do 50,000 things. Next minute, Bob's rocked up at 4 p.m. on Thursday and so has Marjorie.
Yeah.
And we've got problems.
Yeah, because, yeah, they haven't booked the right way. Yeah.
So don't do that sort of stuff. If there's a piece of technology that's easy enough to work your head around, you are going to get your 20% of, you know, your beautiful elderly clients who want to ring up.
Yep.
But that's fine. Like if 80% of people are using the platform and then only 20%, you know, cool, happy days. That's
absolutely
what you pay for.
And what challenges have you faced in being in a rural-based business? Is there anything that challenges, like in regards to freight costs, consistent customers, anything else? Is there any challenges you've faced being, like, your location-wise?
No, not logistical, no.
Not like that area?
No, we're pretty lucky. Look, we're only an hour from Canberra.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, ideal rurally as it gets, 3 hours to Sydney, three hours to the snow.
Like perfect location.
Perfect.
So obviously if you needed anything, you can just duck out to those areas and grab what you need for your businesses and You're yeah. sweet. Yeah.
And online shopping, you know what I mean? Like, what did I get the other day? Some hot rocks. Some really nice jojoba oil. You know, most people are allergic to things with nuts and, the, you know, so yeah. That all comes within three business
days. So you still
days.
Use online shopping as a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Awesome. Was there ever a time, Ange, where you wanted to quit any of your businesses, that be Yas Health Clinic, Burua, or Farming Friends? Has there ever been a time where you've just gone, I just don't want to do this anymore?
Oh, look, now that, you know, when obviously I've just sold the business, so being back, Yas Health Clinic, Farming Friends, and Burua Health, you know, like,
you
come
had
on,
to
girl,
think about
we're
things.
At capacity now, yeah. you know, come on.
So you have. I mean, let's say, yeah. like, okay, you have. You've gone, I have to quit something within yep. the three realms of what I've got going on. So you've actually gone, I need to eliminate something here.
Yep.
And that's what you've done.
Yep.
Yep. And do you want to explain why? Like, is it just because there is just too much going on?
So Yas Health Clinic houses 15 sole trade businesses.
Yep.
That's a lot of people to manage for one person, one woman, and do a good job.
Yeah.
Why did I do that? I feel that every business, particularly that bit, you know, I can openly say that, you know, beautiful lady within the business I'd been watching, you know, work for many years. I consider her a friend as well, you know, and I know that she can take this business to its next level, and yep. I can't. And that was the reality of that.
Because you don't have the time.
I do not have the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, when she first came to me, she was the one with the baby and the 3-year-old, you know, and the tables have turned here, yep. and I opened up. I'm really struggling to manage everything myself. And
so was that a hard pill to swallow? Follow Ange and go, I need to stop something here. Like, I need, if I keep trying to keep all these cogs in motion.
Yeah.
Was that yeah. a hard pill to swallow as a business owner?
It was a hard pill to swallow because it's my heart and my soul.
Yeah.
However, I can always take on new projects, and I can do something similar but different again. You know what I mean? Yeah. In another area. Don't worry. Lovely Katrina, who's just bought the business. You know, I'm not going to come in and be competition straight, you know, straight away. No.
I think what's beautiful yeah. though, Ange, is that you've obviously started again anyway over in Burua, and it's similar to how you started, I guess, over in Yas. And so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not
so
as
back to being a one-man band and yeah. and managing myself and with two little babies and an older one who loves to do all these sports and all the different things as well.
Yeah.
You know, something's got to give, and you know, it's not your family. You know, family's number one. So
yeah.
you have to look within there.
You should be proud of yourself, Ange, for actually, you know, I guess sitting down and working out what needs to go and working out how you're going to go about it. So well done. What jobs, Ange, have you done previously in your life that you feel like you gained some really good skills from that you could take into what you do today? Is there anything that you've done that you just want to touch on that you think you've got some really good skill sets from? And I know I can already think of some jobs that you've done because I know you, but what do you think you've done in the past that's allowed you to be successful in what you do today?
Oh, look, the obvious one's a mum. You know, you learn how to juggle things pretty quickly, and you learn, you know, flexibility, you know, all the obvious things that come with being a parent. However, I still to this day say, you know, because people say to me, you know, don't your hands get sore? Don't you get tired during the day and things like that?
Yeah.
And I always refer back to rouseabouting for my dad, who was a shearing contractor. And some of those shearing sheds we'd go out to were, you know, right out the back of Bourke, out towards Tilpa and Wilcannia and those sorts of places. And in the middle of January, 50-degree heat inside the shearing shed. And we'd get there and it would be, you know, thick blankets of red dirt, and we would have to clean the shearing sheds and lift 10-kilo fleeces that were falling apart because it was so hot, and so the wool was all sort of falling apart, and 10 shearers all racing each other, and, you know, really think on your feet, run literally all day and get over anything that was going on in your head that you didn't like, you know.
Even if you're feeling physically exhausted.
If you were, you know, there were many mornings I woke up crying with I didn't know what it was back then. You know, I was studying at uni, but, you know, it was definitely delayed onset muscle soreness. So when you know, because I would come in my uni holidays, and then you would go straight into this sort of work, and it was physically, like really physically demanding.
So when people ask you, are your hands sore, you're always in the back of your mind going, well, actually really no.
I've got a bloody great job.
Yeah, the craziness.
I've got an air conduly in the summertime, and I've got a heater in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I get to talk to some pretty cool people in my day, and I think I've got the greatest job ever.
Beautiful. And I think too, Angela, like, as I said, like life experience, life skills set you up for success, and I don't think we stop enough and think about all of the amazing things that have happened to you in the past that make you who you are today, and why you're able to do what you do. And I think it's nice to think about it and reflect on it. So that's why I like to ask that question. What is one of the hardest parts about being your own boss, Ange?
The hardest part, well, if you're managing people, I found that really hard, because I'm just sort of I think in my own head, and I just get the job done, and I just don't really.
You forget to tell people things?
Yes. I would say at a certain point, my communication broke down, and that was a time thing. And, the human brain is only designed to remember several things in a day. And when you're making it do 10 times what it's supposed to, you know, then you're putting that extra stress on yourself and your own.
So being your own boss, and obviously, as you said, if you're managing people, it's all about remembering everything for everyone else. So I guess being your own boss, it gets a bit lonely for you. You don't have anyone else to bounce off. I mean, you can bounce off the people who you work with, but if you're making the shots and you're calling the shots, is that what you find probably the hardest part about it, that you are the one calling the shots?
The decision-making processes. So, during COVID, that was a – pretty tough time.
Hard work.
Tough. Mm. We had half of our clinic who were deemed, what was the word again? Essential.
Yeah.
And non-essential.
Yeah.
And that was really shit, because I think, everyone was essential, but essentially, those services that came under the APRA blanket, physiotherapy, chiro, exercise physiology, we were all allowed to work. But,
What ones didn't come under the blanket, Ange? Like what ones were deemed non-essential?
It was really crap.
Was massage one?
Yeah. Remedial massage was scratched. So was having the dual qualification was okay. Obviously then I'd just go under my EP number, but that was really crappy, because I had two beautiful remedial massage therapy, yoga, Pilates.
And you were the one telling them they can't work because they are deemed non-essential. That's
you're
tough.
You're non-essential. Yeah. That was the worst time in the history, and I think about that, reflecting on that still makes me so cross and sad.
And for them also to witness that people were still chugging along and working and they couldn't, which was hard. Yeah. And what's your favourite thing about being in business? And that's all three, like combined. What's your most favourite thing about being able to start something on your own and go for it? What's your favourite thing?
There's this just excitement that you feel in your body. It just takes over, and it's like, that real punch the air, smile, excitable, just that feeling. It's really an amazing feeling. And when you see things all sort of flow together,
and that your ideas are out there.
Yeah. Just see an idea have legs, that's what's fun about it.
What do you think, Ange, makes a good business owner?
Strong communication skills are essential, strong communication, the ability to sort of create boundaries when negotiating as well.
Mm-hmm.
So really being firm about, all sorts of things,
like your values
and, your price, what you're charging and why you're charging that,
having a justification for
So in the role that I took on as practice manager or, practice owner, constantly having these negotiations with people about, what the price on the room was and,
Because you're hiring the space, So good communication skills, that comes under all of that really. Like you need to be able to talk to people. You need to be able to talk to people about your services and that's really important to have good communication skills. Do you think being in business has made you grow personally, Ange? And if so, what would be the major thing it's taught you about life?
It's taught me a lot. It's taught me about yeah, my own values and what I'm worth and that I am worthy and yeah, all those things, you know, that really comes back to a life sense then as well, you know.
Sorry. You've lost your train of thought.
I've lost my train of thought there.
Do you want to take a sip of your drink?
Of my vino.
Yeah, take a sip.
Good idea.
And I'll ask you again, what has been one of the key things that stood out to you that being in business has taught you about life? What's one of the biggest things that's really stuck with you? What's business taught you, Ange?
If you've got an idea and you feel right down to your core that you want to give that idea some legs and have a crack at something, then don't for a second thought think otherwise. Start to put yourself around people that are going to help you towards that goal or that dream. And those that are pulling you down, you just have to pop them on the bench for 5 minutes. Because
so what I'm hearing here, Ange, is the biggest thing that you've learned is self-belief.
Self-belief, yes.
Okay. Beautiful.
Thank you, Sig.
I will work it out for you. Ange, what's one thing you wouldn't compromise on in your businesses? And that could be any three of them if you want to jump on Farming Friends for a minute. I know you've talked a lot about your health clinics and stuff, but what's one thing you just wouldn't compromise on within your business?
Well, all three of my businesses have worked around my kids, you know, so that I think would be the centripetal thing that everything revolves around is me and my family and my kids. And so, that's my non, you know, I don't compromise. I take school holidays off. Mm. I work now 9 till 3, you know. I just think that you have such a short period, you know. I've got a 12-year-old now, you know. I know how quick it's all flying by. Mm. And it's gone in the blink of an eye. So
being a business owner, you really can personalize your work.
You can personalize, and if you want it all, you can have it all. You can. You're just going to have to sit down and make some sacrifices, you know, around, you know, both parties there, but you can design your ideal day. So if your ideal day is I want to be able to, you know, take my kids to school and pick them up but have a cool groovy job that I love in between and, you know, still be home to cook dinner, you know, do some fun stuff and play a sport myself. I've just started up basketball again. Mm, mm-hmm. It's been 15 years.
Yeah, you're ready.
I'm ready.
She bought new shoes today as well for it.
I bought new shoes.
All right, before we go on that tangent, let's keep going. And who inspires you? And it can be about, and it doesn't have to be just in business. Who inspires you when you think about?
Kitty Flanagan.
Okay, tell us why. Why does Kitty Flanagan inspire you?
Okay, I'll let you all in on a big secret. I have a bucket list. Mm-hmm. And on that bucket list is one day I'm going to do stand-up comedy.
That's awesome, Ange, and I think you'd definitely
And I love Kitty.
Yeah.
You've seen her live. And I love Cap and Kim. Yeah. And I, you know, that vibe, man.
Yeah. So she inspires you because why does she inspire you? Is it because she can just be herself and she's successful in just being herself and telling jokes? And
And it's just all about, you know, and I think of my life as a big comedy scene, you know. If people could be in my kitchen and actually see what goes down in the morning.
Yeah.
You wouldn't read about it.
Yeah, but at least you can look at the humour of it, Ange, and it's really important in life and in business to find humour in things. Okay, so no one else? You're happy with that answer? Kitty Flanagan? Anyone else inspiring you?
Oh, well.
Just Kitty.
Kitty. I mean, I guess you inspire me.
Oh, poo. Let's not go there. All right. Look, Ange, what's your definition of success? Is it money, freedom, influence, creative expression, innovation?
Freedom.
Freedom. Yeah, why? Why is that your definition?
Oh, to be free. You know, I am spiritually loose. You know me. My spirit just needs to be free at all times. You just never know where I'm going to be or what I'm doing. And so I love that.
So you can be flexible with your time.
Flex, yeah. Freedom.
That's successful for you.
That's success, man.
Beautiful. What do you think? Oh, we've obviously already touched on what is a good business owner, but let's go to at what point did you look at your business and see it as successful, Ange? What point?
There was one week, and it was probably a year into back to buying the building. I renovated it. I put another three prac rooms to take it to five prac rooms in total, plus a gym out the back where we do yoga, Pilates, yeah. all of that sort of thing. And in one week, I had three women come and approach me about, you know, Ange, if you ever need a receptionist, you know, or you know, something of that, you know, can you, and handing resumes in. And I thought, that means they want to work here. Mm. That's pretty cool. They're really fun chicks. And I wish I did have more jobs for those people so I thought then that was on my success. Drives home, I was like,
people want to work with me.
People want to work here.
That's so cool. Yeah, that is cool. I like that, Ange. What's one thing you would change about your business journey if you could go back in time, or what is one thing you'd tell your younger self when you were just starting out? Is there anything you'd change or anything you'd tell yourself?
I would tell myself, you got this, girl, you know. And, when I think back to the beginning, you know, obviously single mum, I studied, and then I just graduated, and it was a bit of a crappy, you know, if I have to be honest, it was a little bit of a crappy time, because I was looking so forward to doing an internship straight after uni, and I found myself pregnant, and you know, I love, you know, he's my biggest teacher and he's my favorite, you know, and he just, I've learned so much from him, and you know, and I'm so grateful that he is in my life, and he was my main
motivator.
Mm-hmm. But in that period, I guess I just wanted to go back and just tell that Ange, like, you know, it's all going to be okay. You can see into the future, you know, girl, it's gonna work for you. You know, you got some hard work, you got a bit of a hard road to go, you know, and there's going to be lots of weekends you're away working. There's going to be lots of, you know, that general hustle of just getting a business off the ground, and why people should, you know, there's a lot to go with it. Can I just say on that note as well, working in your community is a big factor in, you know, we're talking about rural women here.
Yeah.
Okay, so being a part of your community, and when I think back to my success and how people know me and my brand, you know, come into an area I don't know, you know, and you're on the touch football team, and then you're strapping the Rams rugby team, and you're putting your hand up to run dance nights, and you're in the community, you know. And so what was the question?
This seems to be a bit of a theme here. Would you go back and say anything to your younger self?
Yeah,
and,
I mean, just keep doing what you're doing with all your community. Be a part of
the community, yeah.
Yeah, with all your community action, you know, just keep doing you, mm-hmm. keep being part of all the things you want to be part of,
yeah.
And have a crack with the business side of things, and, you know, the rest will look after itself, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a good message, Ange, is just to know that things do work out even when you think they're not going to work out, you know. Where would you like to see yourself and your business? I guess now let's just talk about Boorowa, because, I mean, Boorowa is your present and so is Farming Friends. Where would you like to see both of them in the next 5 to 10 years, Ange?
The next 5 years is, you know, we're just taking it down a notch for, you know, as I said, you know, the kids. I'm raising small children. So I've designed my day to work around a couple of little small babies, plus also be there for these teenage years of Coops as he transitions, you know, through that period of his life. So the next 5 years is pretty concrete. It's just
keep doing what you're doing.
Just don't take on to, you know, yeah, maybe say a bit more no.
Yeah, okay. And with Farming Friends, Ange, where do you want to see Farming Friends to go? Like, you're about to release your third book this year. Where do you want to see Farming Friends go? Like, it's a really creative business, and you've really creating something here.
Oh, look, if I've got 10 books, you know, a 10 book spread, you know, I think that would be.
So are you hoping maybe like a box of Ange Taylor books?
Yeah.
Ange Elliott books, yeah. You know, 10 books in it, like, you know, like a Dr. Seuss pack. Is that what you're hoping?
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
That's my inspo.
There you go. Ange, we're going to jump into the Fast Five. We're almost finished tonight. It's hitting, we're 5:20 now, so, and we're still in the closet. We've got our feet up on the on the, what do you call it, the shelves here. We've got wine in the closet. We're literally sitting in a very small space together. So let's tie this over tonight. What is something you're curious about right now? Really short and sharp answer, Ange. What is something you're curious about right now? And that could be, you know, what are you curious about learning within your business or trying or doing something differently? Short and sharp. What are you curious about?
More, you know, I'm loving Instagram and videos and video content, you know, like that sides of things.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of trying to help my husband with his silage business as well. Sort of, you know, it's a very new sort of type practice to Australia, but it's all about drought proofing your farm and things like that. And I'm really enjoying sort of creating a bit of a inspired unemployed type vibe, but more of on the farm and how they're working. And if you've got time, head on over to at silage.
Give it a plug.
Southern Silage Contractors for a bit of a laugh. We just had a poetry competition from your tractor cab. It was pretty funny.
Okay, so you're curious about creating more content, more, learning how to do better content, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
What are you currently working on inside Borua Health Clinic? Is there anything you're working on or in Farming Friends? Is there anything you're currently working on that you're working towards right now?
Not really working to, you know, just sort of picking up where I left off. You know, I'm a service-based industry, you know, so doing that. But with the Farming Friends, yeah, obviously got a new book just about to shortly be released. So very excited about that one.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Beautiful. What is your favourite thing about – let's talk about Farming Friends first because I just love talking about it because it's such a creative business. What is your favourite thing about your business, Farming Friends?
I love that, it's from my view of the world and sort of looking at a few of the things within the market for our kids with literature. And as we all know, you know, you read your kids a different book every night. And, I couldn't find anything on the shearing shed and I couldn't find anything on, you know, silage and things like that.
That reflected
my kids go out and see and how they view the world. Mm-hmm. So I feel very excited that's, you know, here and a learning experience again for the kids reading along as well.
Beautiful. What is something you used to care about, Ange, in business that you just no longer care about?
Oh, I used to hustle pretty bad, you know, negotiating price and, you know, oh, okay, I'll just do it for this price, you know, for a room rent, you know, like more in the rental space type thing, you know, mm-hmm. trying to sort of keep every, you know, and then I came to a definite, you know, that's the price, take it or leave it type, you know, so I guess just, yeah. People are trying to come from their point of view, you know, and I want to give every business a startup. So the other interesting thing about that business was that I was helping many other sole trade allied health businesses as well, you know, and sort of coaching them on what to do. And, you know, some people value what you've got to say and some don't, and that's fine.
Okay. So that's what you've given away. You're trying to give that away. You don't really care about that as much.
Oh, I care about it, but it's sort of like, I would get a bit down if people didn't like my advice or didn't want my, you know.
But it still hits, but not as hard.
Okay. No.
And this is the very last thing here tonight, but what is one thing you think every business owner should either read, listen to or watch? Is there anything out there that you think, you know, that you've either read or a podcast you've listened to or a doco or anything that you think that's really impacted you, is there anything that you would suggest to anyone to watch, read or listen to?
Oh, look, my favourite podcast other than the Wow Pod would be Cass Dunn's Crappy to Happy. It used to be Cass Dunn and Tiff Hall and I've continued listening because I love the I think everything is in our heads, you know what I mean? A lot of what we go through in a day and how we're feeling and, you know, business, kids, family, you know. So it's all about training the brain and training the mind and our thoughts and how we think and how we react. And so anything that is going to help you with your mental well-being and, all those things that I've just mentioned above is seriously
life-changing.
Life-changing.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, so head on over. Your suggestion was crappy to happy. Is that correct?
Yeah, crappy to happy.
Beautiful. Okay, Ange. Well, look, I just want to say first and foremost, thank you so much for your time here tonight in the closet. I am so grateful to you for sharing your story and insights into your business.
I've had a great time in the closet, and thank you for letting me get some skeletons out.
No problem. So her businesses were Yas Health Clinic, Borua Health Clinic, and Farming Friends. And you can check out Farming Friends over on Instagram, and as well as the Borua Health Clinic. Is the Borua Health Clinic on Instagram yet, Ange? No?
No, it's just the Borua Wellness Clinic.
Yep.
And you'll just find us on Facebook.
Yep. Beautiful. So I'd also like to thank you all here today for joining us here on the Wow Pod. Thank you for your time and your presence and tuning in to Ange's story tonight. And if you want to jump over to @_wow_pod and leave either myself or Ange a note or a comment on anything you found interesting from Ange's story today, it could be something that you found inspiring or that you felt you could relate to. I can't wait to hear from more rural women in rural business, and I'm just so excited that I got to introduce you to Ange Elliott. I think she's a cracker, and I'm sure you could hear that in her voice tonight. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Keep being purpose-driven in your business, doing what you love for those who love what you do. Let's keep learning from one another here on the Wow Podcast. Ange wants to say something.
Can we dance to the music?
Absolutely. Let's go for it.
Let's go.
See you in another episode soon, guys. Thank you. Woo! Whoa.